This is Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. Well, Governor Charlie Baker had some fairly strong words today for the state's top federal prosecutor. Baker said instead of potentially going after those involved in the marijuana industry, Massachusetts U.S. Attorney Andrew Lelling might want to focus on bigger issues.
Let's focus on the stuff that right now is wreaking havoc across our Commonwealth and recognize and understand that the voters of Massachusetts voted to create a legal, regulated recreational marijuana market here in the Commonwealth.
Baker's comments followed a statement that U.S. Attorney Lelling issued saying that he cannot rule out a crackdown on the marijuana industry, and that's despite the fact that voters approved the legalization of recreational marijuana use. Joining us to talk about what this might mean for the future of Massachusetts' marijuana industry is Don Stern. He's former U.S. Attorney from Massachusetts from 1993 to 2001. Don, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you, Deborah.
Also with us in studio is Jim Borgasani. He's Massachusetts spokesman for the Marijuana Policy Project and former communications director for the Yes on 4 campaign. That was the ballot question that voters approved in November of 2016 that legalized recreational marijuana use. Thanks for being with us, Jim.
Thanks for having me on.
So, listeners, we want to ask you to weigh in on this topic as well. Marijuana industry in Massachusetts. Does the U.S. attorney have to follow the Justice Department and crack down on marijuana because it's considered illegal under federal law? Or do you think that the industry should proceed as voters approved and the feds should stay out of it? Are you looking for more clarity as the state prepares to allow recreational marijuana use come July? You can call us with your questions or your comments at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also send us a tweet at Radio Boston. We're also streaming this live on Facebook, so you can leave a comment on our page, Radio Boston. Don Stern, let's start with you. What do you think this statement from U.S. Attorney Lelling means for Massachusetts marijuana industry?
Well, I think to answer the question, we got to go back to the basics just so that the listeners have an understanding of what's changed in light of Attorney General Sessions' statement and now the U.S. Attorney's statement. During the Obama administration, the Deputy Attorney General issued guidance. This goes back to 2013, which essentially provided guidance to U.S. attorneys around the country that in those states where there was a regime of regulation and marijuana use, possession, cultivation, et cetera, had been made legal, that it was no longer going to be considered a federal priority, that there were other issues of greater importance mm-hmm. that federal prosecutors would focus on. It didn't provide immunity to everyone who participated lawfully in the process, because there could be outliers, there could be unusual right. circumstances. But it sent a strong signal that that was not going to be the focus of federal prosecution. Mm-hmm. The Attorney General then directed last week U.S. attorneys around the country in those states where it had been legalized, such as Massachusetts, to make an individualized determination as to what they intended to do. That's what the new U.S. attorneys in Massachusetts, Andrew Lelling, has done. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, rather than, I think, accept the reality, which I think is that he's really not going to go after and start prosecuting the legal dispensaries and those who were purchasing marijuana, who are using marijuana lawfully in the state. But rather than accepting and understanding that reality, he's issued kind of this shot across the bow, which is, we're not ruling it out. The practical reality, I think, Deborah, is we're not going to see an increase in federal prosecutions. But what it's done is it's cast a cloud and a pall over the industry, not only here in Massachusetts, but in other states as well.
Well, let me just ask you something, Don, because this, maybe it's not really going to amount to a heck of a lot, but it is a shot. And the U.S. attorneys in other states were very clear. I'll read you what Colorado said, for example. As Attorney General, it is my responsibility to defend our state laws. Every other state, the U.S. attorneys, the attorneys general, and the state officials were very strong in saying, regardless of what the Justice Department does, in our state, we have legalized it and that we are not at all going to go after the marijuana industry. Why doesn't Lelling take that path? Why take this one?
I don't have an answer for that. I think Attorney General Sessions invited U.S. attorneys to make their individualized decisions based upon their own state and the knowledge of what's happening in their state. For whatever reason, Andrew Lelling has taken a different route. I think it's an inartful and misguided statement. I'm hoping that over time, perhaps in the next couple of days or thereafter, his priorities will be clearer and that it will be apparent that really he's not interested in going after the lawful marijuana industry in Massachusetts. But for some reason, his statement suggests otherwise.
Well, just very briefly, before we go to Jim here, I do want to ask you, what does it mean, you know, you're a former U.S. attorney, so what does it mean when the Justice Department says something like this? What is your responsibility as U.S. attorney to follow through here or not?
Well, you know, we have a system where basic priorities are set out by the Attorney General in Washington, but there's a deference, if you will, to the knowledge and understanding that each U.S. attorney has in their particular state, in their particular district. So, for example, if you're in Alaska, your focus might be on fisheries or on Native American issues in Alaska because that reflects your population. Here in Massachusetts, I think you know, as the governor indicated in his statement, the opioid addiction issue is a very serious issue and one which calls out for aggressive enforcement. So I do think that the system is designed to permit the U.S. attorney to make those kind of individualized decisions. But here, where you've got not only the vote of the people of Massachusetts, but a follow-up effort by the legislature and the commission to put together what I think will be a fairly detailed and aggressive regulatory and enforcement scheme. I just don't see the federal interest, which cries out for separate federal enforcement.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Jim Borgasani, what do you think of this statement from Massachusetts U.S. Attorney Andrew Lowe?
I agree with Don. I find it difficult to believe that ultimately it will result in prosecutions. I don't think this U.S. attorney wants to be the first U.S. attorney in Massachusetts history to go after businesses that are operating legally under a state statute. And in this case, they would have licenses, you know, granted by the Cannabis Control Commission. I think that would be probably a very he doesn't want to make his mark like that. So I ultimately think that we will not see prosecutions. I will add one thing to Don's summary, which was very good, that even before the Cole Memorandum, there was an understanding of non-interference. There were medical marijuana facilities open in Colorado and other states, and the feds did not interfere with those as long as they weren't, you know, going into certain things like diversion or selling to underage individuals. So there's already an established precedent for non-interference. The Cole Memorandum sort of codified that a little bit, and it was a great thing. Mm-hmm. Everything worked well underneath it. Now, with Sessions' move to rescind that, we've seen this era of uncertainty suddenly come in.
Mm-hmm. Right, and so, I mean, why wouldn't Lelling be stronger in his statement as, you know, officials in other states have been? Why do this?
Well,
why do this shot across the bow, as Don called it?
Well, I think two reasons. First, Lelling is a confirmed U.S. attorney. The U.S. attorneys in Colorado and Oregon and other states, they're interim. They have not been confirmed yet. They perhaps know that they're not going to stay in the job. I think Lelling has a different political consideration now. He has to maybe, in his mind, you know, play a little closer to the playbook that Sessions has put out. And it's important to note that Sessions gave discretion to prosecutors. He did not give them orders to start prosecuting. So that I think that's one reason. The other reason may be, and he hasn't explained a lot of his actions, he's new at the job. I'm sure that this is the first time that he's had a high-profile public position requirement, and maybe he's just being very cautious, trying to please everybody. However, he's certainly not pleasing Governor Baker or Attorney General Healey, mm-hmm, or Speaker DeLeo or a lot of other people, frankly, who may have been opposed to this, and they all were. But they're supporting what the voters did in November of 2016.
Okay. I just want to make sure we get some callers in here. A reminder that listeners, that if you do have a question or a comment regarding this issue about Massachusetts U.S. Attorney's statement regarding recreational marijuana use, you can call us at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also send us a tweet at Radio Boston, and we're streaming this live on Facebook, so you can leave us a comment on our page, Radio Boston. Russ is calling from Dorchester. Russ, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon, thank you. I just want to bring up the point that I believe that one of the conditions or qualifications of making marijuana a Class 1 substance is that there's no medicinal application or value. And that's pretty clearly not the case with all the medical, you know, research that's done, glaucoma, chemo, painkiller, you know, and its use in painkilling with all the opioids and alternatives. So it does need to be reclassified, it seems. It's 50 years ago, and...
Okay. All right. Okay, Rossio, it's a little windy. It's hard to hear you. Jim Borgasani, does marijuana need to be reclassified? Is that a big issue here?
Yes, it should be reclassified. It should not be a Schedule I substance. It just does not meet the parameters for that. I think the evidence is growing on a weekly basis about its medicinal values. I think ultimately it will be seen as having medicinal value. Remember, our medical institutions are fairly conservative here, but more and more we're seeing doctors start to recognize the value of cannabis as a medicine. And I do think that ultimately it will be rescheduled.
It's my understanding that on the line with us is Steve Hoffman, who's chair of the State Cannabis Control Commission, which met today and is talking about how the state is going to implement policies regarding the legalization of recreational marijuana, which is to start in July. Mr. Hoffman, thanks very much for joining us on Radio Boston.
My pleasure, Deb.
So how did this meeting go today? Did you talk about this statement from Massachusetts U.S. Attorney Lelling regarding the potential prosecution of the marijuana industry in Massachusetts?
No, we just made a statement at the beginning of the meeting, which was comparable to the statement we made last week after the session's announcement, that essentially said that we were going to continue on our job that we were appointed to do by the state, by the voters, and by the legislature to stand up and implement regulations in this industry that would ensure public health, public safety, and accessibility. We then spent the rest of our time doing commission business, talking about staffing up and new hires, talking about guidance we would give to municipalities about their rights and responsibilities in this process and other administrative business for the commission, but we just made that one statement at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Any concern here, though, that the fact that we are getting this statement from Massachusetts U.S. Attorney Lelling, that whatever you do, that by allowing the legalization of recreational marijuana to go forward, that you might be putting people or businesses at risk?
We're doing what we were appointed to do by the state, which is to create a regulatory framework that met the objectives that were in the legislation that was signed by the governor in July of last year. And we don't feel like we can do anything else or should do anything else other than follow the law of the state and what we were appointed to do. Mm. We're not speculating at all in terms of what might happen.
Mm-hmm. So you can't say, for example, I mean, part of your job is to safely regulate the industry. And that was a big argument in terms of what might happen with the legalization of recreational marijuana, that it might lead to a safer product on the mm-hmm. streets for consumers. And some are saying that this uncertainty, in part because of what the U.S. Attorney in Massachusetts has said, could tell people to keep it on the black market because they don't know if they're going to get prosecuted if they try to do it legally here in Massachusetts. I mean, do you have to take that into consideration or no, not really?
We really think that, again, I'm sorry, I know I'm sounding like a broken record here.
I know. I'm not going to say anything, Deb, because I made the statement and I'm not going to say anything else, right?
But we actually, you know, we're actually very proud of what we've done thus far. You know, we've developed a set of draft regulations that will be subject to public hearings in February and finalization in March that we think do a very effective job of ensuring a safe and accessible product. And we're hoping that those regulations will lead to an industry that meets the objectives in the legislation and includes ensuring public health and public safety. I can't and won't speculate on how industry participants are going to react.
Okay. Anything that the commission itself worked on today that is new mm-hmm. and is a step toward what might happen come July?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that because I think we actually did some things that were really important today. I'll highlight just two of them. The first is that the legislation that created the commission is unique to the state of Massachusetts in that it has very explicit requirements that we ensure active participation by individuals from those communities that have been disproportionately impacted by the enforcement of previous marijuana laws. And it's interesting that is in the legislation. The legislation, however, does not define those communities. Huh. And so we've actually spent the last couple of months under the leadership of one of the other commissioners, Commissioner Title, working with statisticians and subject matter experts to define what those communities are. And we have come up and approved a list of those communities across the state. We have regulations that allow for prioritization of applications from individuals from those communities, as well as assistance in terms of coaching and counseling to help them become effective participants in this new industry. And the fact that we defined and created a set of a list of those communities, to me, was actually a pretty substantial piece of progress we made today. The second thing that that we accomplished today, as I mentioned, I think a little bit ago, is that there have been a number of towns and cities that have either put bans in place or more commonly, they put moratorium in place. Mm-hmm. And their logic has been, we really just want to wait for some guidance from the commission in terms of what the regulations are going to look like, what the license application approval process will be, what our role will be in that process. And so we developed and reviewed and approved a document that is municipal guidance on those issues that we will share both on our website and other public locations, as well as with the Mass Municipal Association and other organizations for towns and cities around the state. And we think that was a very important step in trying to get past what seems to be a little bit of an impasse where towns and cities are kind of putting things on hold until they get that guidance. So I thought that was actually pretty substantial progress today as well that I'm proud of.
All right, Steve Hoffman, Chair of the Cannabis Control Commission in Massachusetts. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
I want to go to some callers now on this issue. Ryan is calling from the South End. Ryan, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you very much for taking the call. Thank you, Jim and Steve, for all that you're doing. I'm an operator here in Massachusetts, and I have two questions. One is, I'm wondering if you feel like there's any difference or any protection from the Rohrabacher-Farr Amendment under this current circumstance. And secondly, is there anything that the state can do if the federal government comes and creates a problem within the operations of a company?
Okay, Ryan, thanks so much for your call. I'm not exactly sure what an operator is in Massachusetts. I'm assuming that's you're involved in medical marijuana. But let's take the second part of your question first, and let's go to Don Stern, who might be able to answer this. He's former U.S. attorney from Massachusetts. Don, Ryan asks, is there anything the state can do if the feds do decide to prosecute someone and state officials say, no, it's okay because it's legal under state law?
You know, I'm not sure there's anything that the state can do in the context of a particular prosecution. But I do think there's a lot that the state and Steve and the commission can do to make it substantially less likely that there will be a prosecution. And that is to keep at what they're doing, namely coming up with a tight regulatory an aggressive, real enforcement regime, so that it's clear to the U.S. attorney and to the federal government that they ought to essentially rely upon that regime to regulate and control the use of marijuana in Massachusetts. So I think it would be a mistake to, for example, pick up their tent and say, sorry, we're not going to be in the business anymore, because the voters have expressed their view and the legislature has passed the legislation. I think that all goes to whether there will be a prosecution, not in the context of a particular case. I will say this, that if a case were to be brought in Massachusetts and the evidence was that the operator was faithfully abiding by all state rules and regulations, I think you're going to be hard-pressed to find a federal jury that would convict.
Mm-hmm. I want to go to one more call here because we're running out of time. Alex is calling from Medford. Alex, you're on the air.
I think that everybody's worried about the repercussions, but in my mind, we've already seen New Hampshire voted to legalize Speaker DeLeo, Elizabeth Warren, our governor. Everybody spoke out, even if they didn't originally support it, saying that they are supporting the will of the voters. So he might have, kind of put his foot in his mouth and galvanized people against his cause by speaking out.
Hmm. That's an interesting point. Jim Borgasani, agree with that?
It's a very good point. These are people who oppose the ballot question, and now everybody's basically on the same page. If not supporting legalization, supporting the fact that Massachusetts residents did legalize, and I think that's a good sign.
Hmm. Do you also think that there could be a backlash here that perhaps Congress could get involved and issue a clarification so there's no division between federal and state law enforcement.
I do think that. In fact, I think over the next couple of weeks, we're going to see action to extend the protections that Ryan talked about, the Rohrabacher-Blumenauer budget rider, which mandates that no federal money be used for prosecutions of legally operating cannabis establishments on the medical side. I think there's a good possibility that we're going to see a similar measure, perhaps a budget rider, offering those protections to the adult use side.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's interesting, Deb, I'll just make this observation, that those who articulate deference to states' rights and states' prerogatives seem to be very selective in their view as to when they're going to apply that principle.
All right. Well, unfortunately, we have to end on that note. Don Stern, former U.S. Attorney from Massachusetts from 1993 to 2001. Don, thanks so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
Also, Jim Borgasani, Massachusetts spokesman for the Marijuana Policy Project and former communications director for the Yes on 4 campaign. Thanks for coming in the studio.
Thank you.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Deborah Becker. This is Radio Boston.